This is CyberSound, your simplified and fundamentals-focused source for all things cybersecurity, with your hosts, Jason Pufall and Matt Fusaro.
Welcome to CyberSound. I'm your host, Jason Pufall, joined today by Matt Fusaro and the Vancord Vice President of Professional Services, Dan Kopp. Hey, Dan.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
So we're going to talk a little bit about an issue. I think that it certainly existed for, I mean, maybe 18 to 24 months, maybe a little bit longer, right? The pandemic kind of kicked it into gear. All of the issues relative to supply chain. I think a lot of people have certainly experienced it individually. You know, as Amazon has slowed down and sort of all the other things that have delayed, you know, getting your packages at home. But it's been a huge impact to, you know, businesses across the country. Certainly been a business, an impact to small businesses like ours, as we, you know, have your traditional, you know, network upgrades and sort of hardware acquisitions that we frankly can't fulfill. So, Dan, I think it'd be great if you spent a minute or two on, you know, how the supply chain issues have impacted you. And, you know, we'll have a conversation today around ways that you've looked to mitigate that and maybe what the future holds.
Yeah, no problem. So when we look at the supply chain issues, a lot of the impact is focused on our project services, specifically in the infrastructure side of the house. We're looking at 6 to 8 months, and we've even more recently seen longer, like 12, 14 months lead time on everything from networking equipment, switches to servers. So that's actually what cued me up to write the article, about those supply chain challenges, because, I heard it enough times from our project managers, that we just simply couldn't execute on projects. And it's because of that. What we've also found is that, some pieces of infrastructure projects were able to get in a timely fashion, but can't complete the install. So creates all kinds of challenges from a billing perspective, talking to the finance people, our ability to recognize revenue, that sort of thing.
Has it been specific gear that you find most difficult to acquire, or is it specific components that then impact, different product lines? I'm just curious what you think the sort of the main issue is here.
Yeah, I always put it akin to the automobile industry. For the longest time, you'd drive by and see your car dealerships with three or four cars in the parking lot to sell, right? So they're relying on microprocessors, different makes and models and suppliers. And that's sort of the same thing that we're seeing, at least how I've made sense of it in my mind. To get more specific, we see it a lot with certain builds, certain models of switches and APs, wireless access points. And what we've seen now, and hopefully we're getting to the tail end of this supply chain issue, but what we've seen is a lot of the manufacturers have adjusted to the types of microprocessors manufacturers that they're using, rewritten code to accommodate it so that they could get around the supply chain gap.
Yeah, so a lot of that's been happening, and from a security standpoint, that always kind of frightens us, right? When you start making choices to, increase delivery, a lot of times you're going to be doing things like sacrificing performance, or maybe we don't even know that we trust the chip sources, right? A lot of this stuff is being acquired from overseas, right? Because that's mostly where chips are developed up to this point, right? I know Intel and a couple other companies are making huge investments in creating factories inside of the United States at this point. But, we still have a big lead time before we get product from them that's actually made in the U.S. So especially when manufacturers are changing those components out, we now have a problem of, hey, are we trusting the silicone that's being used? Are we trusting even the code? And now you have freshly written code, but probably introducing bugs inadvertently or advertently, whatever it might be. So it's, I'm sure it's going to create some challenges even past today, right? So you'll get some of this equipment in, you'll put it into place, and it'll have problems, and it might just take longer to fix things now.
Yeah, it's sort of like trying to get past the marketing fluff, right? Because all of our manufacturers that we work with, primarily, you know, they're touting this as a great opportunity to sort of, you know, rewrite pieces of the code to optimize against the chipset, you know, and just wondering how much of that is real, especially when you look at, like, you know, and this happened a couple of years ago, and it is, you know, maybe light on relevancy, but the supply chain attack from a code perspective, right? SolarWinds Orion, that jumps to mind whenever I think about that sort of stuff.
But it's a good point that you do bring up, Matt, around sort of the risk management, right? So, you know, NIST has their supply chain risk management framework, helping to, I think, you know, it's really keen in manufacturing and some other industries where you're trying to validate the source of your products, the security qualities of your vendors. As you know, we're experiencing challenges getting equipment. The reason we're experiencing those challenges is the manufacturers can't manufacture, so they're looking to do what they can, clearly, to put product on shelves, and that might be sourcing parts from places that maybe they aren't even as comfortable as they used to be, right? So, you know, understanding your risk is probably increasingly important, but frankly also increasingly difficult now.
Yeah, on top of it, you know, companies like ours have had to do things like repurpose equipment, right? You know, Dan, I know that you guys have worked with a lot of companies to, you know, either take old equipment that we were able to recover for inventory or even just redeploy some things that customers have owned. That was probably a big challenge there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a huge run on refurbished equipment. I think that's probably considered gray market. You know, but we've specifically done that on purpose in a couple key areas or a couple key customers that, you know, just had a need that had to be filled, and, you know, no way around it.
So what are the conversations, Dan, that you're having with customers look like? So, you know, you have somebody come, they say, we need to make some, you know, upgrades in our network or swap some gear out, et cetera. And, you know, your answer might be, well, it's, you know, 6 months or more before we can get the equipment. Are they shifting their thinking to, well, maybe we should move to the cloud rather than on-premise gear? Are they thinking, hey, it's fine to wait 6 months, it's okay? Like, you know, give us a sense of how those conversations go.
Yeah, the conversations, they really run the gamut. And I'll step back a little bit. I think, you know, the hardware shortage, if there ever was an inopportune time, it's kind of, you know, right now it's further exacerbated by the focus on security and the prevalence of, you know, maybe it's COVID related, you know, there's all kinds of theories and all kinds of people talking about that out there, but there's a huge uptick in the number of attacks right now. So everyone's security conscious, plus there's just certain things you can't address unless you get new hardware, right? The latest and greatest hardware that runs the latest and greatest software. You know, so there's a ton of discussion and a lot of the discussion around refreshing an environment is security focused and, you know, frankly, talking about it only because the security implications of running that aging equipment. And so, you know, we always start the conversation now, you know, thankfully, everyone, including the sales reps, have learned, you know, that we can't promise, over promise and under deliver again, right? So we start the conversation with, hey, you know, you can absolutely get this, you know, new shiny cool thing if you're willing to wait, you know, 8-9 months, you know, and that has driven a lot more conversation about leveraging the cloud, especially, like, that's an easy conversation if you're talking about, you know, swapping out your, you know, VMware 6.7 for the new VMware running on, you know, whatever, from Dell or HP. They all have the same issues, and it's challenging to get that stuff. So yeah, a lot of cloud service conversation. And then, you know, like I allude to in the blog post, you know, once you make the decision to move even portions of your environment to the cloud, it it opens things up a lot more from a on sort of what's left on your on-prem footprint and things you can do to make that stuff last longer, make it more secure, or at least secure enough. Depends on a whole bunch of things, but
so the probably the one area, you know, server infrastructure makes sense, I think, for that cloud-based discussion. There's a lot of software providers, you know, Office 365 for mail replacement, you know, things that are just natural and pretty much everybody's moving toward. The one place we really can't address, though, is that on-prem network infrastructure stack, right? The firewall. Well, firewalls can be in the cloud, perhaps, but you know, the on-site networking gear we really can't address, and that's been a huge issue for us.
Oh yeah, it has. Couldn't agree more. It does make some things simpler, and maybe you know, when you cut out some complication on the network, it gives you, you know, it frankly opens up the number of options you have with refreshing your network. Right. What I mean by that is, if you move all of the, say, production applications and, you know, end user needs to the cloud, you don't need data center switching anymore, as an example, right? You also, if you do have a work from home policy, you don't need everyone VPNing into your data center. You can, you know, sort of use the cloud, you know, natively from your house. So it does open things up quite a bit.
Yeah, the move to work from home must have made this a little bit less of an issue than perhaps it could have been otherwise, right? Without everybody being physically in the office. But I'm sure it doesn't go away. But have you found that it has bought companies time maybe to replace some of the stuff until the issues have subsided a bit? Or, you know, has there been a big move over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think in general, you know, a couple situations actually jumped to mind where, you know, the first requests that we got in, and these were managed customers that, you know, we are their outsourced IT. You know, the first slew of requests was, hey, you know, we need VPN clients on all of these laptops, right? We need to buy a bunch of laptops. We need VPN. And then, you know, fast forward 6 months, 12 months, hey, you know, the internet connection isn't great into our office. What can we do? Right. And that, you know, then once you go cloud, once you start having those conversations, it's really difficult. You know, we haven't hit that part of the paradigm where we've looped and we start, you know, we're taking everything out of the cloud and bring it back on-prem, you know, which I've been in the industry long enough to think that might happen at some point. Maybe I'm just old, but
one of our people here called the great precipitation.
right. It's a big cycle, right?
Yeah. I mean, we are seeing some of that now where some things are being pulled back down just from service delivery issues. I think it'll probably start there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, every vendor wanted to get their applications into the cloud, right? No matter what, but not necessarily everything belongs there for sure. But in the space that we're in, you know, mail and a lot of the server infrastructure, like there's a lot of really easy services to migrate up if people haven't thought about doing that already. And if the difference is, you know, we can do a project in a month versus 6 months, you know, that's really compelling, clearly.
Yeah. I think a lot of businesses needed to make those decisions whether they were ready or not, because most of them are not in the business of IT. They just need these things to work.
Right.
Right. So they don't care where it is as long as it's working, secured, and their people can do whatever it is they have to do.
Yeah. And I think, frankly, the clients that allow us to help them make those decisions for them, right? They're the best ones who, hey, we have a challenge. We're not going to tell you that we have to, you know, replace everything with exactly the same type of hardware or you know, on-prem hardware. Like, tell us how to fix it and tell us how to address the risks that are in the market. And one of them is supply chain. And those are the clients, I think, who, you know, who rely on us and enable us sort of as business partners. And that's really what we're looking for.
Yeah. And I think building that into your risk profile, your strategy from now on is probably a good idea.
For sure.
Right? You know, hopefully something like this never happens again, but it could. So being prepared for, you know, what do I do when I can't get replacements for the things I've got in place right now? You know, do I have a second option? Am I able to send all of my people home for extended periods of time? Is that something I can do? You know, just having those things in your plan from now on probably is required.
So I think, Dan, as we're looking to wrap up, what does it look like going forward? Are we seeing lead times today, you know, substantively shorter than they were 6 months ago? Are they about the same? Do you see times coming down? Do you, what do you think the future holds?
Yeah, you know, that sort of brings me back to the point I alluded to earlier, where you know, I can't think of any manufacturers that aren't experiencing the challenge, and I you know, flip side of that is I can't think of any manufacturers that haven't taken pretty drastic steps to address them. So we are seeing, you know, certain products from certain manufacturers, and these are products that are direct replacements for, you know, the products we would have been selling had this not happened, maybe. And those are down to reasonable lead times, you know, back to a couple weeks at most. You know, certainly still impacting because, you know, there's still that long tail of equipment that we're waiting on, frankly. You know, and still, so we're still working through that. Overall, I think there's still key types of equipment that there's a shortage on, and it's still going to be impacting that.
In sort of that same time frame that you've experienced over the last year, that shortage is still 6 months, 9 months in some cases.
It is, yeah. We're seeing, you know, orders placed late last year, June, July time frames.
Okay. So fair amount of client expectation management goes along with this, more probably more than in the past even.
It does.
Okay. So I think, you know, maybe the moral of this is, if you've got infrastructure you need to replace, start thinking about it now, because the lead times might be, you know, might be longer than you actually think. You know, any vendor you're working with should be able to help you with you making decisions that might mitigate that. It could be, you know, shifting where your workloads are, making some other sort of adjustments internally. But at the end of the day, in some cases, you may just be waiting. You may be waiting a while for equipment. So, you know, think about those upgrades now and try not to do it at the 11th hour.
Yeah, that's sort of the closing thoughts, right? Plan early and often. That hasn't changed. You know, maybe now we're just adding 12 months earlier. Right?
Earlier and oftener.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, all right. Well, Dan, thanks for joining. You know, if anybody, of course, has questions about, you know, potential lead times of from specific manufacturers or specific product lines, you know, let us know. We're happy to try to answer that. And, you know, Dan, thanks for joining. We appreciate it as always. And we hope everybody enjoyed and got value from the podcast today. Thanks for listening.
Excellent. Thanks for having me.
We'd love to hear your feedback. Feel free to get in touch at Vancord on LinkedIn or on Twitter at Vancord Security. And remember, stay vigilant, stay resilient. This has been CyberSound.